I would like, if you have your Bibles with you tonight and would like to turn with us in our reading, we have a thought upon our heart, and this came to us, I guess, a little later in the week. It really doesn't go much along with the lesson this morning, but it does go along with some of the things that we tried to bring out about doctrine. And how that today people are going to turn away from doctrine. They're going to turn away from the things that our churches believe, the things that our churches hold fast to. If you want to turn with us tonight, 2 Timothy and the 3rd chapter. And we're going to start our reading in the first verse. But I want us to know and realize tonight that even though, and the title in my Bible says, "Perilous times shall come." And I don't know if that'll be necessarily what the Lord would have for us to title that this lesson tonight. But I want us to realize tonight that perilous times shall come. We're living in a day and time where people are turning away from God in everything that they do. Every thing, even churches today, are turning completely away from God. They're turning their desires and the things that they know to be true, they're turning it all away for the sake of the betterment of themselves. They're not even worried about the doctrines that a church must stand upon. There are a lot of places tonight that I believe are preaching and teaching a lot of things that are not doctrinally on a foundation. They're not doctrinally rooted in anything. If you really were to go about looking into some of the things that they believe, you would see that maybe there's a little root here and a little root there, but there's nothing there that is truly about God and His church. And I want you to know tonight that our churches are facing these things, and as we face them, we've got to know what's headed our way so we know how to face it.
Amen.
If we don't know how to face these things, if we don't know what's headed toward us, we're not going to know how to face the things that are headed our way. I heard at the minister's school this last year on the Thursday night sermon, and Brother Brad Hicks just done an outstanding job. But what he preached on is the battle before us. And you know, we have a battle that is set before us tonight. Every single one of us, lost and saved, if you're lost, you have a battle set before you. You've got to get saved. But those of us that have been saved, we have a battle before us tonight. As a church here at Mount Calvary that sits on Nolensville Road, we have a battle that's before us to go out into these neighborhoods, to go out into these communities, to go out into this world and tell everyone that we can about this God that we have. Even though these perilous times shall come, we still got to do something about it. But we've got to know what's headed our way. And I want you to read with us tonight, 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." And I thought about this, and I thought about these last days, and I thought about what Paul was telling Timothy here. And Paul was writing to young Timothy, who had just become a pastor of a church, and he was giving him some instructions, he was giving him some warnings. And I thought about tonight, if he thought the last days were then, what if he could just see today? If he thought the last days were in Timothy's time, if he thought that in the day that Timothy may live, if Paul thought that, if he could just look down today and see some of the things that our churches are having to go through. And I told you this morning about how baptism has been perverted by every single denomination out there. They've turned it into something else. If he could just look down and see how our doctrines, our foundational things that our churches must stand for, if he could just see those things, if he could just see the things our nation, our world is going through, oh, how he would say the last day, perilous times shall come. If he could just look down today and he could just turn on News Channel 5 every now and then, he would say, "Perilous times truly are here." Brothers and sisters, perilous times are knocking at our doors. I don't know if you were reading this tonight, if you were looking over this, but "for men shall be lovers of their own selves." All it takes is to look around and see that men love themselves. You know, we live in a world today where in the Bible says that we're supposed tonight that say they love God and have no idea what it means to love God because they love themselves first. I'm going to tell you something. Serving God, you have to be last all of the time. You always have to be last. You never get to be first. Nothing about you ever gets to be first. You always have to be last. But he says that in these last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be covetous. They're going to be wanting more and more and more. Have you not looked around today and seen people and all of the things that they're after? But they're not after the Lord. They're not after the things that He would be after. They're after everything else. They don't seek to find out the truths of God, but they go after everything that has something monetary attached to it. People today, surely, we're living in the last perilous days. If we could just look out tonight, and I thought about driving down Nolensville Road this morning, and I just tried to see what maybe was here 50 years ago. You know, I've never been down this road much in the last 10, 15 years. You know, I didn't know what it used to look like. I don't know what Nashville used to look like. I know what it looks like now. But if you just look around us tonight, you would see there's so much greed around us. People are turning around, turning right in the middle of the road to turn something other than God. They're coveting everything, except coveting what God would have them to covet. It says, they're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers, they're disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy. Oh, if we could just look tonight, disobedient to parents. Have you looked at kids today, children today? Oh, it's the other way around. Sometimes it almost looks like the kids are the ones training the parents. Sometimes you look around and it almost looks like it's the other way around. The parents are being led around by their children. Oh, what a sad world we live in where the commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother. I'm going to tell you today, the world has turned a blind eye to that. They've overlooked those things and they've turned it completely around. You know, I don't know tonight. Most of you have grandchildren and different things, and I believe I've met quite a few of them, and I believe that they're good children, and I believe that doesn't apply to a lot of us here tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. When Paul was telling Timothy, perilous times shall come, I believe he could just look out, and I believe he could almost see what it looks like in 2015 when he wrote these scriptures. I believe he could just look out and see some of the things that would be taking place today. Have you just thought about the world that we live in? And I'm not trying to preach a doom and gloom message because I believe that we still serve the same God that was there then, that's here now. I believe it's the same God. I believe, and Sister B this morning, God love her, what she said just about broke my heart when she came in the door. And she began to talk about, she said, I don't know where everybody's at. She said, I look around. She said, the place used to be full, but where is everybody? She said, surely, we're in the last days. And I said, Sister B, we've still got a great big God to reach out and hold on to. She said, it's just a great ball in the way. And I said, Sister B, I truly believe there's a great ball in the way, but I believe that we'll hold on to God. And she didn't know what I'd be preaching on this morning, but if we'll stand upon the fundamental doctrines of God and His church, I believe that God will bless us. Even in these perilous times, even in the last days, I believe that God still wants to bless His church. I believe He still wants to save souls. I believe people will still be saved even until the last day. I believe that God will still be saving souls. I believe there's still a chance for people. Otherwise, we would just lock the doors, go home, and say, forget about it. The perilous times are here. The last days are here. Let's give up. But brothers and sisters, I told you last Sunday about the devil. Oh, he'd love that. You want to know where all of these things come from? They're rooted and grounded in sin. And you want to know who the one who loves sin? The devil. Oh, he'll place things in our mind and our heart. Oh, to stir things up. And oh, how he would love to rip apart a church, to rip apart a family, to rip apart anything he can get his hands on. The devil loves to do that. In these perilous times that we're living in, oh, how sad it is to look out and to see some of the family units that we see. Oh, how sad it is today to look out and see the things that are going on. But I believe truly that if we'll turn to God in everything that we have, He'll still bless us. Thought about these.
these verses of Scripture. In the fourth verse it says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Fifth verse, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead away captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and John Braves withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. We've got a lot of people tonight, their minds are being turned over to a reprobate state. They're turned over to a state where their last thought is God. I believe that. I've told you, you could just look out and see some of the things that are taking place. And surely as us as God's people, us as God's church, we can look out and see some of the things that are taking place. And I believe if we're happy about any of it, woe unto us. Woe unto us if we're happy about anything that's taking place with this sinful nation that we live in. We've got to turn toward God. I believe tonight that if we'll start turning toward the Lord, and I believe, you know, we say all the time it's got to start with us. Brothers and sisters, if it doesn't start with God's people, it's not going to start with anybody. You know, I believe Paul was telling Timothy, and I believe Paul was giving Timothy some very wise instructions. And I want to read some more scripture over in 1 Timothy. This was Paul's first letter to Timothy. And I truly believe today, and I told you this morning about the doctrines of baptism and my week where I didn't get to Lord's Supper much. But I told you about how people have turned the two ordinances that we have, they've turned them into something other than what they're supposed to be. You know, I told you about that article that says the church ordinances are archaic and we ought to do away with them. Can you imagine what Paul would have said if he could have heard that? We read over in 1 Timothy in the fourth verse, or fourth chapter. And Paul was warning young Timothy about false teachers. Oh, there are false teachers among us tonight. There are false teachers among God's people. I believe that. I believe Paul was telling Timothy, you've got to keep a watch out for everything around you. You know, us as saved people, we've got to keep a lookout for this church house tonight. We've got to keep a lookout for God's work. You know, even if it's a work far away from us, over in Jamaica, in Guatemala, wherever it may be, we've got to be on the lookout for false teachers among those things. We've got to be on the lookout against false teachers everywhere that we turn, because in these perilous times, they're springing up by more and more than we can count. We passed the church this afternoon. And if I called the name, most of the ones live in this area probably know which one it was. And Sister Stella said, that's the place where they hold all of the country music stars' funerals because it's so big and so expansive. And I thought, you know what? How sad it is that a place like that can sit there and have all of these people. But you know what they're doing? They're falsely teaching about something they don't know about. You know, when you look at that place, oh, you would think that God is just blessing man. You would just think God is just all in that place because by appearances. And I want you to know tonight that this world looks a lot at appearances. It really does. The world looks at appearances, and they'll mark places off. They'll mark you and I off because maybe we don't look like we should. Maybe we don't act like we should. Maybe we don't dress like we should. But brothers and sisters, in these last days, we've got to hold on to God more now than we ever have. You know, I have heard some of these false teachers, and you know, their message, boy, sometimes it sounds really, really good. I turn on the TV sometimes, and I'll watch it for just a minute. Now, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't recommend it to a lot of people. If you're rooted and grounded in the faith and you know what you believe and why you believe it, but you turn it over there now and then. And boy, they'll get off on a tangent. Boy, they'll sound really, really good. But I believe they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, they'll sound really good for a while. And I believe that Paul was warning Timothy, in these last days, this thing will surely happen. They'll sound really, really good. But the message they have is not one of mine.
are one of God. It's not His.
I want to read these scriptures to you. Because surely, surely we can look from these and see that perilous times are ahead. In the fourth chapter it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." I've thought about these scriptures and I've heard them preached on quite a bit here recently. And I've heard them and I've thought about these a lot. And I thought about Paul telling Timothy, "For now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils." You know, I have heard recently of a man that I actually thought quite a bit of. And he used to belong to a missionary Baptist church. Was a wonderful man. And you know, he's departed from our faith now. He's given up on the things that he knows to be the truth. You know, he was a man that used to be a pretty staunch missionary Baptist. He believed like we did. Anytime I ever visited where he was always there. And I believe this goes farther than that. And I believe it goes far beyond just people within our own church. I believe tonight there are people that are departing from the faith in general. There are people tonight, and if you'll read the statistics on these things, people that are turning from faith altogether. They're turning not only away from our churches, but they're turning away from anything that has to do with God. Why is that? Because people have painted a terrible, terrible picture of God. People are doing a wonderful job in these perilous times that are coming, these perilous times that are here. They're doing a wonderful job of painting a picture of God that's not accurate at all. But Paul told Timothy, he said, he warned him. He warned him of what was taking place. He warned them of what would be coming. You know, I thought about the third verse, "Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. You look around today and boy, people are just looking at marriage. And I want you to know and understand, we're living in a day and time where marriage is not sanctified anymore. It's not something that is looked upon as something that is needful. It's not looked upon as something that is appropriate even more. It's not even looked upon as something that you have to do. People today are shutting it away. They're looking in different directions. They're turning it aside. And brothers and sisters, I believe that we look before our very eyes and we can see before it that these things are coming to pass. These things we see before us, if perilous times were coming in, surely, surely, they're here now. So what does that mean that we have to do? It means we still have to fight the good fight of faith. It means we still have to dig down deeper now than we ever have. I told you this morning that people don't like doctrinal messages. They don't like those things because they get on to them. They let them know that there's a belief that we must follow. People don't like that. People like the Joel Osteens of the world, and I'm not afraid to call his name. Because I want you to know people like that. They like to hear the things that make their ears feel good and they make their hearts feel good. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know tonight that we're still in a battlefield. We're still in a war against Satan. Amen. And we've still got to take it as such. We've still got to stand upon the old paths. Jeremiah says, "Seek out the old paths and see that they are good." Brothers and sisters, I believe more today that we've got to stand in the old paths. If perilous times were coming, they're here now.
And brothers and sisters, I'm not preaching doom and gloom message, I promise.
Because I believe that God is still in control. You've heard me say that a lot of times. But I truly believe that tonight. And I believe there's still hope for us. There's a lot of people in our own church that are turning God completely off and saying there's no hope for us. I'm telling you, there's still hope. There's still hope tonight for this church. There's still hope tonight for all of God's churches. But I believe they've got to be sincere about what they're doing. You know, as me and Brother Colin were talking last Sunday, we were talking about different churches and things that they were going through. And we talked about the Great Commission. And maybe I hit on that a little bit this morning, and maybe I didn't. I can't really remember right off the top of my head. But I'm telling you today, us as God's church, we've got to fulfill that. We've got to be about working, about the Great Commission. We've got to be about doing something. He said the churches that he's seen that have gone out of existence, they were looking at reaching inward instead of reaching outward. Brothers and sisters, we can reach inside of us all day long here at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. And I believe we've got a great crop of people. I was telling Sister Janita this afternoon after a service this morning, we were talking about piano players. And there was one here last Sunday. But I had no idea that he played piano. So we had 5 piano players in our service last Sunday morning. I told her, we've got a great crop of people in our churches. We've got a talented group of people in our churches. But I'm going to tell you what we've got to do here at Mount Calvary. We've got to go into the highways and hedges. We've got to reach out to our neighbors and those in this community so that they know that we're here, because in these perilous times, they're looking for help today. They're looking for something to soothe their pain, and we've got it. We've got it. People today are hurting. People today are aching. They're finding themselves more in trouble now than they've ever been, and they don't even realize what sits here. You know, we sit here at 1972, August 20th, this little church, and I believe the second sermon I ever preached here, I titled it, The Old Lighthouse. Brothers and sisters, this old lighthouse is still here. The devil has taken its pot shots at it. And I was telling my grandmother last night, I said, she's been through a lot of things in the perilous times. She's gone through a lot. But she's still here fighting. And guess what? We've still got to go and fight harder. There's a song that we sing, Win the Lost at Any Cost. Go out and win. Rescue from sin. Souls are crying in a field. Won't we win them to the Lord? Win the lost at any cost. You know, if Paul was telling Timothy that in these last times people are going to be turning away from God before they're too far gone. And I believe this in my heart. I believe there are people tonight that are just about as too far gone as they can be. When it turns them over to a reprobate mind, I believe their mind, their heart has been set on anything but God. But you know, we don't need to limit God. He can do anything. But I believe very firmly tonight there will be a time when God will draw people long enough and He will be finally done with them. And He'll say, I'm not dealing with those people anymore. But you know what? We've got to be very sincere. Because I believe, and Brother Moran made this statement yesterday at the ordination, he said, I believe we're living in the last days. I believe that. Brothers and sisters, just because the end date's near doesn't mean you stop before the end date. You know, if I have a gallon of milk and it goes out at the end of this week, I don't throw it out now. I'm going to use it till it's gone. I believe that as we were talking about on Wednesday night about the Spirit of God, I believe those of us that have been saved, we've got to grab a hold of the Spirit and latch on and just go and go and go as far as the Lord will allow us to go. I believe that we have a great work set before us tonight. You and I have a job to do. You know, I'm thankful. And people will say, maybe think I'm a little crazy for saying this, but I like to do the work of the Lord. You say, well, preacher, why do you think that's crazy that you would say that? You say work in very many places and it scares everybody to death. You say work and people suddenly say, well, I can't be a part of that. I'm not doing that. You start talking about work very much and you scare them to death. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. We have a work to do. But it's not something, and you know what?
It's not something we're going to go back here to the down here to the basement and start digging out shovels and pickaxes and start going at walls and different things. We're not talking about that kind of work. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about a spiritual work tonight. We're talking about a spiritual fight. I thought about Nehemiah and the walls, and I believe I preached a sermon about that one time here. You know, maybe I'm rehashing all the early ones now, but that's okay. But I believe those of us that have been saved, we've got to go get on the wall. We've got to go start building. We've got to go. We've got to build. But this is a spiritual work tonight. This is a spiritual warfare that we're engaging in. It's something tonight that is so important. I've thought many times, and I've heard this statement, if the world walks in your church and they can't tell you any different, you're in a bad situation.
Amen.
If they can come in here tonight and tell you you're just like everybody else, what a bad situation that we're in. Brothers and sisters, I don't believe Mount Calvary is in that shape. Mom was talking this afternoon at lunch, and she said the first time I ever walked in Mount Calvary, there was just a feeling there that I knew something was different. Something was good about this place. Brothers and sisters, I believe people can feel that. I believe people can see that. You know, people may pass by tonight and they may say, well, I see about 5 or 6, 7 cars in the parking lot. They must not be accomplishing much. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We're accomplishing more serving the Lord. We're accomplishing more assembling ourselves together and worshiping the holy name of the Lord and His gospel going out, because the Bible says His word will not return unto Him void. Because it's still going out, because the gospel trumpet is still being sounded, because of that, things that are going on here are far greater than anything that's going on in the nation's capital, going on in the government buildings, going on in the law-making halls of this nation, going on in any educational place tonight. They're far greater than that. The work of the Lord is far greater than anything of those things. I want to read back where we first started tonight, and I'm going to try to finish up. In the 9th verse in 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, it says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You know, I believe when Paul was telling Timothy about these false teachers, I believe he was letting them know. You know, even though they're going to try these things, even though they're going to come at you, and I believe these false teachers know just exactly where Mount Calvary are tonight. I do. I believe they know just exactly where we're at. And I believe they would love a shot to get in here tonight and to deceive a bunch of people. I believe they would. But this 9th verse, it says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You know, we read about a verse of Scripture about when the Lord comes back and He says, and people are saying, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we not done great things? Have we not told people about Your holy name? Haven't we done all of these great works in Your name? Haven't You seen what we've done? And then the Lord says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Their folly will be made manifest unto this whole world. I believe the false teachers, the false prophets, the ones that are speaking lies and hypocrisy, I believe they will be found out. I believe the whole world will know that they have lied in the end. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something tonight. We've got a world full of people who are following man. They're following these people that get on TV. Boy, I watch one of them. Man, he gets on there and he's got a nice suit on. And boy, he looks like he really knows what he's talking about. But you want to know something? He begins to read his scripture and things that come out of his mouth shows me very quickly he has no idea what he's talking about. Now, there's sometimes where he'll begin talking to the lost. He'll begin to be telling them about what they must do to be saved, and it sounds really convincing. And then he gets down to the end, and he'll tell them, if you'll just come down here and do this, that, and the other. And I'm not going to go through it because I want somebody to be misled tonight. If you'll do all of these things, you'll go to heaven. And then if you're sitting at home watching TV, he'll say, if you'll send me $500, I'll pray for you, and guess what? You get a ticket to heaven. I'm sure there's people tonight that are sending those people money. They're sending them the things that they've earned, honestly believing in them. Oh, how sad that is. How sad it is for people to believe that. But you know what's going on? In these perilous times that we're living, we have still got to tell people the true way. It hasn't changed, and It won't change.
Amen.
These men that are doing this, it breaks my heart. I have witnessed many times people that have held these men in high regard. They've held them in such esteem that, you know, if you listen to them talk, they can't do any wrong. The Bible says their foolish, their folly shall be made manifest unto all men. You know, I'm going to end this message tonight. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a sad day. We talked about the songs about home and the eternity is a long, long time. You know, it's going to be a long time for those that have been made to believe that they've been saved and have not been saved by the grace of God. What a time it's going to be for them. It breaks my heart tonight. But in these perilous times, we've still got to go on and continue preaching the true plan of salvation. I told you this morning, people don't like doctrinal messages, and they really don't. I was told by a preacher one time, and he wasn't a very old preacher. He was about my age. He said, if you go preaching doctrine very much, he said, people won't listen to you. People still need doctrine. Our churches still need doctrine. If we don't teach doctrine, we're going to end up just like these people. We can't do that. We must stand upon the doctrines that we have. The doctrine of baptism, I told you this morning, people have completely turned it aside. The doctrine of the Lord's Supper, it's not what it used to be. People have turned it into a mockery of what God set it up to be. If we don't stand for it in these last days, what's going to happen in years to come? I'm going to leave you with this thought, though, so it's not all doom and gloom. I believe the Bible tells us there will be a remnant that will remain. And I believe there's still hope tonight. I believe with everything that's within me that if we'll pray and ask the Lord, and earnestly pray and ask the Lord, I believe His remnant doesn't have to be a small remnant. I believe it can be as big as He'll allow it to be. I believe and I hope and pray that His remnant tonight will be here at Mount Calvary when He returns. I'm not rushing Him back by any means. I'm ready to go when He comes back, but I sure would love to see my lost friends and loved ones get saved. In these perilous times that we live in, we must continue to consult the Lord in everything that we do. May God bless you is our prayer. I hope and pray that something that's been said tonight will be beneficial to someone. Just remember to keep fighting the good fight of faith. May God bless you is our prayer. Let's stand and have a song.